first straight line of St Vincent. It's just after 1797, just after the Victor Hughes terrorising of the ships in the area. And there's a little note inside it, said it was a most unfortunate circumstance for us that the smaller packet being captured as we had both my arms, so we must have been trying to deal with the French marauders. There are a few examples of the St Vincent Fleuron, which I've sorted out, probably not to any satisfactory method here, but I'd obviously like any comments from everyone who has better ideas. There's a statistical account from the Park Hill estate with all the produce and the numbers of slaves, which is quite interesting. A recently acquired piece, which I haven't written up, a consignee's letter, which has gone to London and then been put in the free post, which I think is quite nice, from St Vincent. The double arc St Vincent, a pretty fair strike, because it's very difficult to find. Usually it's just very, very poor. A couple of examples of the crown circle paid at St Vincent, with two odd values actually cancelled. Penny, fourpence and sixpence of GB, the A10, that period, a couple of, I think these are plate proofs of this issue. I'm not sure whether these were there or they were the Delrue with them, but those, I think they may be Perkins Bacon with a filing proof block for of the penny in the cover. Then various examples. You'll have to excuse my duplication. I just like the stamp so much. They're such attractive design. I think it's probably the best design after the penny black. A nice top of the sheet there of the penny. I'm not sure about the compound 11 by 14, which could be okay, but is a fairly scarce one. And the usual, a run through then. I find this rather amusing, the shilling rose red, that the postmaster ordered some new shillings and then when he got them in rose red complained that it was very like the shade of the penny, but he neglected to notice that the penny had changed to black by then, so it didn't really matter. The various watermark star and sideways and up upright position, and that's an area that I think has got some research to be done in it. A nice example of the shilling claret on cover. I believe there are only a couple of covers known, which we've got recently. The provisional surcharges, with the pair of the penny on sixpence separated, the other penny on full sixpence, the halfpenny on half sixpence, and the fourpenny, which was probably never used commercially, but they all got used up on the first day, I believe. The 5 shilling, I think, is probably the Perkins Bacon printing is probably one of the least attractive. They picked rather a wishy-washy colour, and I think when Delarue got round to it, it's a much stronger colour and more attractive. Specimens, I think the early specimens, there are probably 15 or 16 different types, but very few of each type, and I've just got 3 examples. One on the 5 shilling Perkins Bacon and a couple of Delarue with the earlier type of specimen, whereas the later ones with the normal type, 7 I think it is, seem to be fairly common. Well, there's a couple of varieties. There's a well-known one with the Tuckney Hapney on fourpence with the bar missing, there in the pair, and Minden used. And the other one, which I'm afraid I cribbed out of the BWI magazine, with the Tuckney Hapney on penny, where the one of the half bends down and touches the bar. And there's an example unused in use.
Pardon? I said, that's what our magazine is for.
Yes. Well, not being a member, I feel as though...
our website is... you're pilfering from our website.
I won't mention the member. This I like is a full sheet of the five penny on fourpence, showing all the various positions of the five in relation to the N, which is, I think if you don't have a sheet of something, you might as well have something that shows the varieties. This is another, maybe you can answer, it's the olive yellow of the four that seemed to be a controversial show. But there are two examples there which didn't come together, so I'd be interested to see what people have to say. And there's I think this has just been in a window or something. It's a Fortney purple brown, or the brown, late brown, but it's sort of a, I don't know, an olive brown. It seems to be most peculiar. A few revenues with a £1 on five shillings, which is pretty scarce, or very unusual. Some forgeries of the surcharges. The penny on sixpence and the other penny on sixpence with a fourpenny on a shilling, with a duplex St Vincent 810, which really didn't exist, and a forgery of the Tuckney Hapney on fourpence. The key plate is a forgery of the five shilling there. I don't know whether it's me, but postcards of St Vincent seem very difficult to acquire. I haven't got many at all. That's rather a nice one with carried hieroglyphics in Rutland Vale, which I'm sure you all know. Another lovely stamp, the pound, Edward. And luckily enough, it seems to come in shades, so I've got some examples. Some odd colours, two types of the specimen overprint on the arms of the colony. The penny on one shilling, which I think was also used just to get rid of the things for the value as it had been replaced by the Mr. Brown, and the variety, which is probably deliberate, of the one missing at the bottom there. Again, out of the magazine from an unknown member, I got the information on the scratch plate, and there's some of the war stamp with the showing the scratch plate. Examples of doubles, and here, probably it must be spurious, is an inverted overprint of war stamp with the R missing. But the lettering is very good. Whoever did it was quite clever, I think. The log and floating log and kite variety of the shilling for the Silver Jubilee, and a couple of letters from someone in Plymouth who wanted some stamps cancelled, and well, there were two letters there, and sent them in an envelope to St Vincent, and they were returned. They obviously, I think there was some, I noticed something somewhere recently in Grosvenor catalogue, something similar. So they obviously, the post office in St Vincent didn't like to do what they were asked. The official paid, three different types, and then on to the postmarks, the different A10s, a few postmarks of St Vincent and Kingston, and then on to the village postmarks, the 14 first abbreviated. I haven't got that for Buckamont or Georgetown, but I have examples of sorts of the remainder. Lucky enough to get Chateau Belair on cover and Cagliacqua, but unfortunately somebody's taken the stamp out, but I don't think I'd have probably got it if it had a stamp on. I think they more or less speak for themselves, these. I'd like just to point out my example of Peruvian Vale, which I believe is, just gets into double figures, the number of copies in there. And there's New Adelphi, the St. Vincent A was used there from 1913 to 31, and then they had their own Chancellor, which was then replaced by New Ground. Well, having collected Italy for a long time, when you don't bother with loose stamps, you have everything on cover and nice postmarks, I was astounded that, you know, this is the only way you can get, well, most of the early postmarks are impossible to find on cover. There aren't, just don't exist. So it's quite a contrast of collecting. There's True Marker. The first St. Vincent A was used there, and then it had its own postmark. No, they're both just the St. Vincent. It didn't get its own postmark until 1931. And just a couple of a packet boat, a part of the ship letters, St. Vincent, the early mark on the Edward stamp, a packet boat mark of Bequia, and a couple of cards used on the KNSM line, the Dutch lines.
Thank you very much, Alan. Thank you. I would suggest that we have a look at Alan's display, and then if anybody's got any questions, they can ask them afterwards before I ask Charles Freedom to give a vote of thanks. Come on, Alan. Any questions for Alan about his St. Vincent? Not, of course, that he'd say that he could answer them. But
I have a question. Alan, did you buy these Oliviers when they were still in the catalogue and had a big value on them?
No, I didn't. They came sort of in collections. Thank goodness.
Okay, well, I'll ask Charles to give a vote of thanks. Charles.
Well, I think certainly we should thank Alan for being brave enough to come into the Lion's Den, as it were, and coming here. I think I am not a great St. Vincent expert, and perhaps you were lucky that our one or two taros who would have perhaps offered some rather tricky questions were not present there. But I think, as I said, it's very nice, particularly to see something that no one knows about and is totally new to us. We've most of the major collections of our members. We've had been wheeled out more than often than perhaps some of us would care to admit, but it's great to see something totally new. Let me just make a comment. I mean, this olive yellow shade, fun enough, those who were in the Royal the other day would have seen that exact shade in the Royal collection. Peter's going to write it up for the bulletin, I believe. Mm-hmm. And it's a pretty distinctive shade. And it's not clear to me why they took it out of the catalogue, because it was in the catalogue for, goodness knows, 40, 50 years. Maybe they couldn't find, I don't know, documentary evidence of some kind for having it. Or maybe Gibbons didn't have any in stock and thought, why are we... Who knows? Who knows? Well, it's a bit of a mystery.
Is that a question? Because
yes.
I remember a discussion with Philip Kins about it.
Yes.
And he was being very lukewarm in his enthusiasm for the existence of this shade. And it was the first of two West Indies shades to go, the other one, of course, being the Virgin Islands one, Shipping, very light brown.
Yes.
It was a sort of attempted rationalization campaign, which hasn't, unfortunately, taken into its stride the very many shades that were catalogued in the 1910 to 1920 period when the editor put in a new listing for every new painting that came out. I think it was simply because the real evidence of the existence of that shade seemed to have disappeared, and too many stamps were found merging into various degrees of yellow. And the answer may actually be what Alan Leverton was telling us a few moments ago about his discussion with De La Rue of the difficulty of maintaining uniformity of the yellow shade. But this does suggest that it exists.
Yes, I think, my view on shades is I would not want to pay for a shade, a highly priced shade, unless it was a very distinct shade. Let's put it because it's, Simon says it's not only this stamp, there are thousands of things we all collect where there are grades of shading, and at the extreme end you've got a very distinct difference like this, and I think these two are pretty pretty convincing to me. And I remember the run in the Royal we saw a week or two ago was the same, but there are, as Simon said, plenty of things that are a mix of the two. Okay, on the other things I noticed, well, I'm particularly keen on, interested in the two things you mentioned very briefly, which were the crown circles on the stamps. The normal thing was the crown circle went on the envelope, pre-adhesive. In one or two cases, we know of stamped envelopes where, usually with the GBs, GBUs, where there was crown circles also probably to denote additional prepayment. I don't think we have any surviving cover known with the crown circle on a St. Vincent stamp, do we, Simon? I can't think of one. Only GBs.
Yes, so you're far more about this than I do. I think in St. Vincent, where you meet it, it is on the stamp. It's very rare.
It's very rare. I actually, funny enough, I have the two same values, and I dare say Vincent Duckleby and one or two people, and obviously Peter Duffy has a few too, but we'll see that next March when Peter Duffy's collection comes up for auction. Well, we've got a palette of remarkable, what I call comprehensive range of the kind of things we like to see. We have people who are very keen on Wartax here, and I'm sure they've pored over your Wartax. We have other people who are interested in the revenues, which you didn't say much about. But I can tell you, I go into eBay, and these things are getting very good money on eBay, and there's lots and lots of bidders and keen on competition if you ever want to sell these things. So I think the other thing I would note is your cancellations, which are certainly quite special in many cases, and you've got some pretty stunning cancels there. I particularly like the Mayro on the Company of New Penny Blue one, and a couple of others that you mentioned yourself. So I think all in all it was a very nice display, and thank you very much, Alan, for coming and showing it to us.
Right, before you're given the opportunity to have another look at Alan's collection, we decided we'd have the draw for our raffle. Now, I know you chaps all bought lots and lots of tickets. I